everyone, and welcome back into another wonderful episode of Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a fabulous, fabulous show to bring to you today. And joining us to talk about this show, we've got three wonderful guests. Jess Ducey, who's the showrunner and producer for the piece. Rachel Resnick, the production manager. And Kristen McCarthy Parker, who's also the showrunner and producer. They're joining us today to talk to us about Clown Jim's presentation of Clown Party. It happens the second Thursday of every month, and the next one is on March 14th. All of these happen at Pine Box Rock Shop in Brooklyn, New York, and you can get more information about this at clownjim.com. We are so excited to be bringing you another clown experience. So with that, let us bring on our guests, Jess, Rachel, Kristen. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm excited to have all of you here and to talk about this great work. As you had mentioned before we started, all of you participated in FIDSFest this year, which we had the privilege of covering and promoting, and it was amazing. And now you're joining us to talk to us about this great event that happens every month, Clown Party. This is wonderful. So Rachel, how about I start with you first and have you tell us a little bit about what Clown Party is?
Yeah, so Clown Party is actually a bunch of shows in one night. So it's three shows, the one in March, and it is a community-driven clown show. We have it for, you know, the clown community and all comedians and just comedians in general who want to go and make work. That was sort of the goal with creating it. So we have different hours with different themes, and every month we go and you get a totally different show with probably totally different people doing it every time.
Amazing. I love it. Jess, I want to bounce to you now as the producer and showrunner. Where did you all come up with the idea for this event?
That's a great question. Rachel is the one who kind of originally pitched us a whole night of lots of shows. But I think the impetus also kind of came out of, we started back in the fall, a clown open mic, which was just an evening of brand new work, one slightly longer work in progress. And there was a lot of demand. We had lots of people signing up every month for that. Clown Jim also puts on bi-monthly clown flex shows, which are slightly more produced, more polished pieces, you know, some actual lighting design and things like that. And again, those had a lot of demand. They were selling out. And so we were like, we need more pipelines, you know, more ways for people to get work onto the stage. And so Rachel and I started talking about, what if we just had a whole night of clown chaos, a bunch of different shows, a bunch of people hanging out. You take breaks in between, you make a friend, maybe you meet a collaborator for a future thing. And there's just a place to try out new work in a really friendly, really low stakes, community-driven environment. So you can see if something works.
It's also... Yeah. To support each other in making new work, because I felt like maybe just like post 2020, there weren't a lot of spaces that people could go and try out small bits without a lot of pressure. So the intent was sort of to create a big night where everybody could go and watch each other do anything that you kind of want to try.
Very cool. I love this. Who doesn't love a place, basically a giant sandbox? Who doesn't love that? That's amazing. Kristen, I'd like to bring you into this conversation now, and I would love to know, what has it been like developing this event, especially as we roll into the next one happening on Thursday, March 14th?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as Rachel was saying, I mean, this came from Rachel's brain and wanting to give people like, a lower pressure opportunity to try out some clown bits. I think what's really exciting about it is that there are like three different shows within the evening. So you have the opportunity to kind of play in a variety of different sandboxes within the big sandbox. There's the open mic, which is an opportunity to try some new clown bits. We have our Unplugged, which is the one that I'm show running, which is, we're calling it kind of like a silent hour, but really we mean like nonverbal. So think like clowns that are not using, you know, the English language or any language, I guess. And then there's the one that Rachel directs, live directs, which is Clown Prov, which is where people are doing improvising in a very clowny way, improvising an existing, you know, play or existing material. So it's a really I mean, we've only, you know, done one so far, so I'm excited to see how it grows from here. But it's been a really wonderful opportunity for people from all over the clown community in New York to get together and try some new work and be in community with each other.
That is so wonderful. I'm loving this. Kristen, sticking with you on this next question, I would love to know, is there a message or thought you're hoping that audiences take away from these events?
A message or thought? I mean, you know, given the sort of like open mic-esque nature of it, it's a really, you know, great opportunity for people to be trying new things. I think that spirit of experimentation is kind of at the core of what we're doing, as well as like support. As we were talking about earlier, it's been, you know, a strange couple of years since the pandemic. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity right now that for artists who are doing more, I would say, I don't know if clown is super experimental. It doesn't have to be, but we'll call it experimental for people to like try out new things and in spaces that are a little bit more off the beaten path. And that's, I think, one of the primary ways that a lot of artists in the city right now are able to like do work and grow and learn from each other as artists is to sort of be pursuing their own opportunities. And this is another great space for people to do that outside of a massive institution.
That is a great, great thought. Rachel, I want to ask you the same thing. Is there a message or thought you hope audiences take away from these events?
Yeah, I mean, the event was also, I want to just point out, it kind of came because Clown Gym has drop-ins every single Tuesday, their classes. And people were like going to these drop-ins and they were, you know, working together. And then I was like, hey, what about where, how do we take this so that our students can go and have a space to perform in that they like, you know, do all this work every Tuesday and it doesn't just like disappear. So I guess just like, just making and creating new work doesn't need to be so high pressure. Like you don't need to like book a theater and spend like $1,000 on one night. You can just make a 5-minute bit and maybe make 25 minute bits over the course of every month and then figure out if you want to even make an hour. But I think a lot of people I found like kind of put this pressure on themselves if they want to make a piece where they're like, oh, I need to like, you know, I need to make like an hour, I need to make a 90 minute piece, and then it needs to go to festivals. But I think there's this other step four where you go out and you kind of shop around, and it doesn't need to be in front of like a non-friendly audience. Like it's really like, does this work at all, you know? And if you are interested in creating more of like a full-length piece, you can do it from participating in this night, and it doesn't have to be like this like crazy financial obligation as an artist, which I feel like we don't talk about enough, that like, you know, a lot of us are pay to play and don't pay each other enough, and it doesn't need to be like that.
That's a really great point. I really love that. Jess, I want to pass my final question of this first part on to you. And that is, who do you hope have access to Clown Gym's Clown Party?
That's a great question. I think like everyone has said, it's for artists. It's for people who are maybe just getting started, where you've been going to classes, you've been thinking about bits, and you haven't quite taken the plunge into getting on a stage. I identify a lot with those people. And so, you know, it's what would I want as somebody who is thinking about wanting to perform? So it's for that. It's for fledgling artists and emerging artists who are looking to try new stuff. And then it's for really established artists who want to try new things, who want to develop work, like Rachel said, through a series of bits, find out what works. If something like really speaks to you, you can keep developing it. Or if you just want to branch out, try something new and weird. And then I think it's also for anyone who's kind of curious about clown. I'm relatively new to it as a genre, and it's been really exciting to see how broad it is. And for audiences who just want to have a fun time, see how work gets made, see stuff in kind of the early days, discover a new artist. And really, like, it's for people who just want to have a laugh. It's a fun, silly night. The clown community is really, I think, really magical because it's wildly supportive. A big part of clown is like failing as part of the art form, and learning how to fail in a way that you kind of bounce back from. It's just a really nice environment to be around, where you watch people try stuff, you watch people respond to a room. And so, you know, it's been a weird few years, decades, who knows. It's a place to just come and have a laugh if you just want to like meet some new people and see some new weird art. This is for you.
In process too. like see stuff in process.
Yeah,
like,
see how the sausage is made in like a fun, not gross way.
Well, for the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I want to start by asking all of you our perennial first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? And Kristen, could I start with you first on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a background in physical theater and clown, and I'm currently a mime, but I also do a lot of like directing and devising and stuff. So for some of the physical theater work I've done, I don't know if you guys have heard of like Masquerade TV or Masquerade Theater. It's like a Japanese game show where a bunch of like basically amateur performers get together and create these really cool visual effects using like very, very low budget, like home items. And it's really, really cool. And so I have a company called Recent Cutbacks where we do a lot of like physical comedy and parody. And we were definitely inspired by them when we were first starting about 10 years ago. But more recently in like theater, there's been a lot of really great work this past year in theater. I just saw Public Obscenities at Tafana. I missed it when it was at, I think, Soho Rep, but that's beautiful. And I saw Stereophonic off Broadway, which I really loved. And I'm about to see that when it goes to Broadway as well, because I have a friend in it. So I guess right now I'm kind of inspired by like a bunch of different stuff. I don't do those sort of like lengthy, naturalistic plays, but I've been, yeah, really enjoying the experience of just like being in the theater for long periods of time, which I wouldn't have expected, you know, a year, like 2 years ago.
That is a wonderful, wonderful list. I love that. Jess, how about you? What or who inspires you?
That's a great question. For me, it's a lot of just like the people around me and seeing people kind of follow through on work and make cool things. So like this community has been really exciting in terms of the way like new projects emerge out of people just hanging out at Clown Gym, you know, coming to a class and then like creating new work. So that's been great. In terms of like cool stuff I've seen, saw Teeth at Playwrights Horizons recently, and it is truly wild, just wild. I've got nothing else to say to that, but it's, yeah, it's great. In outside of Clown Gym, I'm on the board for the National Queer Theater, and we've got our Criminal Queerness Festival coming up, which very specifically playwrights from countries where homosexuality or queerness or transness is criminalized. And so I'm inspired by all these playwrights who are creating work sort of against, you know, like in the face of opposition and are like making art to kind of express themselves and to create community. And I find all of them inspiring and beautiful, and that the communities that form around that. And I think for me, I'm really just drawn to shows and companies and productions where that community forms and you have those like ongoing relationships that keep happening. So yeah, I just love watching people make beautiful, weird art. Really anything that's joyous lately is I'm really drawn to. I've always been kind of resistant to that idea that like tragedy and drama is real art and comedy is like silly and frivolous. And I'm like, no, there's just as much meaning in joyous things. And so that's what I've been really chasing. I've now completely forgotten the name of the show, the Playwrights Horizons clown show that was
Alex Tartaski's show.
Yes. Thank you, Rachel.
Sad Boys in Harpyland.
Yeah, Sad Boys in Harpyland that was at Playwrights Horizons last year. Similarly, just like did a great job of demolishing the idea of what a stage and an audience is and just, yeah, making this really intense, emotional, visceral piece of theater that was also funny and hopeful and silly. And so that's the kind of stuff I'm generally drawn to, is people creating weird stuff.
That is fantastic. Fantastic. Great list there. Rachel, what about you? What or who inspires you?
Yeah, I love anything that's funny and lives in that like funny human space that, you know, everyone can connect to because it's hilarious. I'm gonna shout out like all the clowns in like the early 2000s that were really like kind of big in New York and creating like kind of a fun scene. I like the New York Goofs a lot. They're awesome. Hillary Chaplin is a really fun clown to watch. I really loved what Alex Tartaski just did also at Playwrights Horizons, because I was ready with that answer, and that's why I had it for Jess. Because yeah, I thought that was like an amazing, you know, audience connection. I guess that's what I'm really interested in. Love improvisational comedy as well that can be turned into theater. Really loved what the happy hour clowns used to do in New York. That was amazing to watch. Always just like so silly, and just, it's like the poetry of the stupidity. That's what I'm really into, is like, how silly can we get so that everyone's like, are we really doing this right now? That's what I'm into. I also love Spy Monkey. They're in London. They're London based. But yeah, just anything that's like very silly and the audience can just like be hysterical for the entire time.
Fantastic list. Love that. Love all of these inspirations. These are wonderful. I want to ask all of you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Rachel, I'm going to start with you on that.
Oh, I just love working with a ton of people and like seeing kind of how they tick. And like, you know, it's really fun to do that in the context of an ensemble. And it's also really fun to do that as a solo performer with an audience. And it's also fun to do that with an ensemble and an audience. Like, I just love the human connection of that. It's so fun.
Brilliant answer. Yes. Jess, how about you?
Yeah, it's people. I like art. I like making more art in the world. I like enabling art to exist in the world. Most of my work is around producing and fundraising and wrangling. And I like seeing things get created. And I like working with artists. I like working with people who see the world differently and who want to share their vision and their experiences with other people in new and different wild ways. Like, I've only been in New York for about a year and a half and have met people like Rachel and Kristen through hanging out with artists and like getting to see cool art and just make stuff happen. And it's really about the people in the community for me.
Another fantastic answer. Yes. And bringing us home on this, we've got Kristen. Kristen, what's your favorite part about working in the theater?
I mean, I think it's a version of what Jess and Rachel have already said. I believe quite firmly in the power of storytelling, and in particular, the power of storytelling in a live setting where you're in community with the people around you. I think it's one of the most important things that we can do, and also one of the most instinctive things that we can do. So I'm always, you know, eager to be a part of that process whenever I can. But yeah, in particular, I also love the way that it, like, in my role as a director and a producer, I love being able to create those opportunities for like smart and talented and brilliant people to like shine.
Three incredible answers. I love that. A true testament to the power of community in the theater. So great answers. Which now leads to my favorite question to ask our guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I have one, yeah. So I grew up, first of all, I grew up in New York City. So for context, I'm a born and raised New Yorker. And Cats, when I was a kid, kept coming up on like the TV. And I was a cat girl, like how people are weird horse girls. I horses scare the shit me, but I was like a weird cat girl. So I was like obsessed when I was like two or three with this ad, and my parents were like, okay, like let's like get like rush tickets and like, you know, take her, like this will be fun. But I think you have to, I don't know if this is still a rule, but you had to be like at least four or something to go. And I was like three. So they kept being like, if anyone asks you like if we're in the theater, how old you are, say this. So I'm like full on at Cats the Musical, dressed like a cat, like full on cat outfit, myself and the audience. Yeah, this career makes sense now that I'm like looking back on this memory. My parents take me and I'm probably like three or four. And I just like go in and just tell the person taking the ticket, even though they didn't ask me, I was like, I'm four. And they were like, okay. And then I got to see Cats and it was freaking amazing. And I thought I was a cat also, which is some psychological issue that we can explore at another time. But yeah, it was just like my first experience of like magic and like theater and, you know, that you can transform into kind of like anything in that space. And I guess I did my own audience participation. I don't necessarily think Cats the Musical like asked me to do that, but that's where I think this all started, honestly.
That is fantastic. Who would like to go next?
I also have some fond childhood memories, one of which was Cats. I grew up as a dancer, like ballet and contemporary dance as a kid. And so that was my introduction to the arts. And I remember seeing Cats as a kid on tour in Orlando and just being fascinated by like this much weird dance and kind of just like even that taking me out of like traditional ballet. I mean, like, oh, it could be weirder. Again, now that we like reflect on these things, it's unsurprising we ended up where we did. And then the other one was always watching The Nutcracker every year as a little ballet student. And I still think it's magical. I took myself to see The Nutcracker just before Christmas last year. And I remember what always seemed really special about it is like this, as a little kid, it's like one of the only dance productions where you see yourself and where you see this pathway to you being on a stage, because like there are children and there's like all kind of ages and abilities of dance. And you can sort of see that pipeline. And I think that has always kind of informed art that I like, and now that I like try to produce and make art, that sense of like, how do you get to being on a stage, and that sense that like representation is really important, and seeing like as an 8-year-old fledgling ballerina, you can see what you're working towards and like see people who kind of are only a step or two removed from where you're at. And so I think that's really special, and it's just magical and pretty and lights and snow. Also Florida, that was deeply entertaining, like the whole concept of a winter Christmas. You know, you'd probably go and you're like sundressed to watch this. So yeah, those were some like childhood ones. And then just like a really sappy semi-recent one is last summer I was producing a couple of musicals at Edinburgh Fringe for Butch Mermaid Productions, and they're both like very queer musicals, super just like aggressively gay and like positive queer and trans representation. And we had a couple audience members come back multiple times over the course of Edinburgh Fringe because they were like, this was so fun, I love this, and like hang out in the space afterwards. And so it's those like human connections where somebody is like, I saw myself on the stage because of you. And then you just have that like weep in the courtyard after the show that reminds you of like why this is fun and important. So I think, yeah, I'm just fundamentally a sap about the power of art and theater.
Those though, that's amazing. I absolutely love those. Oh, and you, who doesn't love that moment where you get to weep about theater, just the power of it. Snap, yeah. Snap, go team. That's amazing. Saving the best for last, Kristen, what is your favorite theater memory?
I have a lot. I narrowed it down to two while everyone was talking. So I studied abroad in Mexico, and there was an arts festival during my time there called the Festival Cervantino. And it was like an international arts festival. There's a lot of really cool stuff that I saw. But one of the coolest things was this, a physical theater company from Lithuania performing Othello in Lithuanian with Spanish super titles. They had like cut the script way down because it was like they were like hanging on nets. They had like a very like oceanic theme. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. Couldn't understand a word of it. And then I'd be reading along. I'd be like, I don't know what that is. That's like old Spanish. I don't know anything. But that was like transformative power of theater beyond language kind of a moment for me. And then my second that I'll mention was it wasn't the first thing I saw on Broadway after the pandemic, but one of the first shows that I saw on Broadway coming out of the pandemic was American Utopia, that David Byrne project. And it was like, I went with Julia Cavagna, who you guys know. And like that for me was like transformed. I was just, it was everything that I needed to like get out of the pandemic funk and like stop wondering if, you know, theater was dead or whatever. You know, it's just like, it was so alive. It was so musical. It was so simple. It was so elegant. And like everybody dancing to, you know, his music was just like really incredible. So I still cherish that moment in the theater.
That is a wonderful theater memory. I guess memories, those were amazing. All of yours, those were fantastic. Thank you so much for those. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do any of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
We sure do.
We have, yes. Well, Clown Gym does. We didn't really shout out Julia Proctor, who's the founder and executive director of Clown Gym and started it 10 years ago. So I just want to do that. But we are doing a residency at Chelsea Factory, and that's going to be in June. And we have an ensemble. Clown Gym has an ensemble, and that project will be presented at Chelsea Factory. And we're really excited about it. Yeah.
Yes. Clown Gym also has a couple of workshops and intensive in addition to the standard Tuesday drop-in classes, which are super fun. Check them out if you are at all curious about clown. But Julia Proctor is doing a Red Nose intensive the weekend of April 6th and 7th for like very kind of classic iconic clown. Rachel is running a new work.
Thank you.
A new show incubator course.
Thank you for plugging my workshop. I forgot about.
Yes. Well, if you've done a couple of the bits and you're like, I think there's a show here, Rachel is running a course to help devise that. So check that out. That's good times. And we'll be throwing our Clown Gym 10th birthday party in May. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, we have a big anniversary party. That'll be super fun.
Yay! That's so much fun.
And then individual projects. So Rachel's teaching a class. What else is happening, y'all?
Well, Jess is producing a show that I'm directing called A Drag Is Born, which will go up at Frigid. That is in the pipeline.
And then we're taking it to Orlando Fringe, yes, as well, which is going back to my hometown. It's a clown-esque, clown-adjacent type show, also wordless and a lot of fun. So look out for that.
And Kristen does a lot of comedy. Recent cutbacks. What do you have? You have something coming up? You just did something?
Is there maybe something for a clown party, Kristen?
Yes, of course. Yeah, Recent Cutbacks is going to do a sketch show next Wednesday, Wednesday the 13th at Caveat at 7 p.m. We're calling it Oscar Worthy, so all the sketches are inspired by Best Picture Oscar winners over the years. We always incorporate live sound and Foley as part of our act as well, so that'll be a big component for this one, of course, with some like fun musical scores getting added in. And then we also later this month on the 24th are doing like a queer Matrix themed variety hour, so we'll basically like perform the Matrix between a bunch of different acts, including drag and clown and puppetry and physical comedy and all of the above.
I am so excited about all of these. What incredible works you have. Brava.
I will also be making my drag debut in May after following a drag class, which should be super weird. And yeah, the Criminal Queerness Festival coming up in June will be great. I'm also doing a bit of event and producing work with Yasamar Dance Theater, which is a Palestinian dance company. We'll be at the Shed in June. And speaking of fun theater memories and study abroads, I first found them as a study abroad student back in 2007 in Jordan. And there was like the first year of a contemporary dance festival in Amman that took place in like back rooms of like two warehouses. And there were like 20 people who went to the shows. I was one of them and saw this company. And then, you know, here we are almost 15, 16 years later. They're, you know, touring New York. I'm living here. And it's a really nice full circle moment. So come see some cool dance. There's a lot of oranges.
That's amazing. You all have so many things in the pipeline. This is fantastic. Well, with all these irons in the fire that you all have, I am going to ask my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Clown Party or Clown Gym, or about any of you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
So the Clown Gym, we've got the website, which I guess will be in the notes for this episode or something. Is that how these things work? And it's clown_gym on Instagram. So that's the best place to kind of see new shows, new opportunities coming up. If you want to pitch work to Clown Party, that sort of thing. So that's Clown Gym. Find us individually. Rachel, Kristen.
My Instagram is at Rach Resnick. And that's where I post stuff that I do. And yeah, the Clown Gym Instagram is great for that as well. That has like all of our submission stuff and also, yeah, all of our shows.
Yeah. You can find me also on Instagram at Kristen MC Parker or at Recent Cutbacks for any of the two shows that I was just talking about.
And I'm the J Deuce on Instagram. And so find more fun gay stuff there.
Well, Jess, Rachel, Kristen, thank you all so, so much for stopping by and sharing this incredible, incredible organization and this amazing show. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see it and come back again and again and again. So thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
See everyone at Clown Party on March 14th.
My guests today have been the showrunner and producer, Jess Ducey, the production manager, Rachel Resnick, and the showrunner and producer, Kristen McCarthy Parker. All of these incredible artists are part of Clown Gym, which is presenting Clown Party the second Thursday of every month. Their next one is on March 14th at Pine Box Rock Shop in Brooklyn, New York. You can get more information about this by visiting clowngym.com. And we also have some other contact information for our guests, which will be posted in our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But if you are looking for a fantastic time, a very unique experience, just a great evening out, check out Clown Party, which happens the second Thursday of every month. Also, check out Clown Gym in general. They've got drop-in classes on Tuesdays and other fun events that are coming up. But join us March 14th, that's the second Thursday of March, at Pine Box Rock Shop for Clown Party. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones,
unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.